And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the, not just any, but the motorcycle road racing podcast. He's Ed Sorbo of Lindemann Engineering Race Suspension. He will get your tires stuck to the ground. You can find him at le-suspension.com.
Woo!
You know,
he got it right!
You know why I nailed it?
Oh, my gosh.
You know why I nailed it? Because I'm staring at your freaking trailer. Even I could figure that
Some
out.
Some cue cards just have to be bigger
you
than others.
You know what? I'm telling you, man.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm Michael. Hey, I'm Michael Gugis. You can find my insane rantings and my excellent motorcycle road racing photography at motorbike road racing.blogspot.com. motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. You know, for I tell you something, for a consumer camera, I am just thrilled to death with the
photos.
Is
there anything besides a consumer camera?
Yeah.
But they sell those.
Yes.
To consumers.
No, they're sold to professionals.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Clicker me this.
Clicker, oh dear God, has your wife been at this again? God. I was really happy. I got a chance to shoot out at Wira West at Auto Club Speedway.
Mini 14?
I'm sorry?
270 Remington?
No.
What were you shooting?
Something even more
cameras.
Dangerous. Even more dangerous. Photography.
Yes.
True. It still passes as a representation of truth nowadays. Give us another 10 years. You're not going to bother having to shoot. Just sit at the typewriter. I also shot at Turn 6 at Willow a couple of weekends ago, and that was actually pretty cool because of the way that the sun was everything. That turned out better than I thought.
Because of the way that the sun was everything. Neil deGrasse Tyson
everything.
Is going to copy that phrase.
Exactly,
the sun
right?
is like, everything. It's the source of all of our power.
Well, not all of it. Just all that matters. You know, I mean, hey, we get radiation.
Well, actually, there is other sources of power,
and
but
we get radiation from elsewhere. You just can't really can't grow any
can't
weed by
much
that.
Can't do without
you
the
know.
Sun.
We have a couple of things to talk about today. I don't remember what they are. No, I do
World
actually.
Superbike,
World
Kawasaki
Superbike.
Team.
Yeah, yeah. This is sort of a really fascinating phenomenon that's happening in the world of World Superbike. You have the Kawasaki team. Jonathan Ray and Tom Sykes. Now, Tom Sykes has been bloody, bloody fast for about 4 years. His name is Mr. Superpole. I mean,
how many championships did he get with that team?
He's got one.
Okay.
He's got one.
He rode that bike from when it was hopeless to when it became dominant.
Till it became the thing to ride.
Right.
Okay. And
fly-by-wire was the key ingredient.
They brought in a fly-by-wire system. All of a sudden, the rear tire would last. And once they sorted that out, nobody saw which way they went. It was dominant. And as a matter of fact, it really should have been three titles. I mean, except for
all that racing stuff.
Well,
right. I was thinking about that today. They call fishing, not catching. Because
right,
and we call racing racing, not winning. Because
well, but if you look at Sykes, he lost one championship by half a point to Biaggi, and if you look back,
you could say Biaggi won the championship
by half a point.
Right? You know,
that year they had a downpour at Monza during race two,
which all the other teams rode in.
Right, and don't get me wrong, he was well ahead. They cut it short, so they only gave half points for that.
Right, that's hence the half point thing.
Exactly.
Yep.
And what
that's why they're
thing?
Called championships.
Oh, believe me.
Not
get,
individual race
don't,
wins.
Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that he really was championship caliber, nearly dominant for three straight seasons. We've run eight races this year. He's got two third place podiums. New guy, Jonathan Ray, shows up. No championships. Fast. Don't get me wrong. I think Ray's won two times at Suzuka 8 hours.
Okay, you can't say "don't get me wrong" anymore in this podcast,
right? Thank you. I'll be
Life's
here all
okay.
week. Dip your waitress. Enjoy the meal. You know, hey, these are the jokes, people. I don't know. Not a dog act. Jonathan shows up and is demolishing his teammate. The bike is identical. The bikes are identical. The tires are identical.
The bike's not identical.
Okay,
it's
okay
the
let's
new
start
year,
there.
Right? And there's something that's different.
There's something that's different. I've seen Sykes complain that he's having trouble with the rear tire again, getting it to last. But that's not it. He's just not fast. And they're not going any faster. He's still, you know, I mean, it's not like the bike took some quantum leap and he got left behind. But his teammate is...
And the rules are a little bit different,
just
right?
a little bit.
Changed something.
Just a little
bit. So in some blogs... post that I read
on motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com, perhaps
Michael put up the idea that you know, you come into the team and everything's new to you.
Right.
So everything's different. And so it's just all new, and you either deal with that or you don't. Or the other guy, you know, that he's used to the bike, and then they change it a little bit, and it might be harder to adapt because you can't tell what exactly is different versus you knew everything's going to be different. Like you go to a restaurant, right? You go to a comfort food place,
right?
Or you go to the Thai place, and you've never had Thai food,
right?
So you have the idea in your head, well, I'm going to be open-minded, I'm going to try stuff, it's going to be spicy,
sure,
I'm
going to
have a glass of water ready. It's a whole different, right?
Sea cucumber, how bad can it be?
Exactly, right?
It's awful. Well,
it's bad
just,
for the
just so
sea
we're clear,
cucumber.
It's awful.
Okay.
But right.
And so then the answer to the question of why is somebody struggling this year when they did great last year...
On the same bike.
...is... some version of, well, there's these 12 things that are different.
Okay.
And if you fix three of them, then the rest of them probably don't add up to be enough to cause a problem. Right? It's the totality of all the things that are off. I don't know. Is the guy got a different girlfriend? You know, did, you know, there's...
Good point. Did he get married? Did he gain 5 pounds?
There's all your internal personal stuff.
Right.
And you're a year older.
Yeah.
Which can be useful at some age, part of the
right.
age curve, and then it's usually bad at some,
where
it starts to go down is different for everybody.
Right.
Maybe there's a team dynamic change, and it could be, you know, just the guy who's washing the spark plugs, and
yeah.
he affects the guy who's changing your brakes, and he affect, right, and then the totality is the crew chief's pissed off. you don't know. Viewing from the outside, you can never see all
right.
of it. And viewing from the inside, you can never see all of it because the perspective is different.
You've been on the inside. Tell us a little bit about what you can't see while you're in there.
All of that stuff I just described, right?
Really?
The dynamic between the crew members.
Okay.
One of the things that was got a lot of play with Rossi and Burgess was how it was the same crew,
right?
Not just Burgess, but all the guys,
right?
Right. Rossi even paid those guys, all of them, to come with him,
right.
to Yamaha.
Or that was part of the agreement that
yeah,
got him.
And those guys
to Yamaha.
Were all the same. They all wanted to do the same thing at the end of the day,
right?
Right. And so let's say you put me onto that team.
Okay.
So you got a bunch of guys that are all down with having a beer afterwards, but I don't drink.
Okay.
Right. And I don't want to have the beer. So even if I go with them and have a soda while they're having a beer, that dynamic's not the same.
Not quite
if
the same.
When you brought in a teetotaler, he doesn't get mm-hmm. along. He doesn't laugh at the same jokes the same way, et cetera, right?
Right.
So, yeah, you can't see that from the outside, but it all matters a little bit. One of Tom Clancy's books covers this subject really well. It's Hunt for Red October.
Okay.
Inside the American submarine, the sound guy, the sonar expert,
right.
just gets to talk to the captain, like just two humans discussing the problem. Whereas in the Soviet sub, everything's really rigid. The captain speaks to the, you know, and there's no quick interplay between the right?
Yeah, there's no shortcut for the lines of communication.
Yeah, exactly, right? So the American guys are making the most of their systems, and the Soviets are, that's the way teams are. How well you guys all get along and work together can be an exponential advantage. So for whatever reasons, it's working out the way it is. But
was,
it starts with the rider.
That was one of
so-and-so is fast this year, and the other guy is not as fast.
Is and does that not have an impact on the way that the team operates, even subconsciously?
Oh, yeah. Dude, if you... Danny Eslick is a great example for this stuff. So the guy's bombing along the back... out of NASCAR... Turn 4 at Daytona.
Okay.
In the 200.
Right.
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 He crashes.
Right.
Slides along at warp 3000.
Right.
rips his leathers apart.
I think he's still sliding.
Picks up the bike, brings it into the pits. There's a red flag.
Right.
He jumps over the wall. He runs away out of sight. The crew is frantically fixing the bike. Why did Danny run away? He's running back to the truck to get his other leathers because he can't continue in the leathers he's running. He jumps back over the wall in his new leathers. The bike is repaired. He makes the restart. And I forget the outcome of that race.
Right.
But if you're working for Danny Eslick, the guy may be all of the things that he may or may not be. I don't know.
Right.
But you know he's trying as hard as he can.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes the crew try as hard as he can. And when the rider comes back in and bitches and moans and complains about the bike is a piece of shit.
Right.
What's the name of the tuner with the mustache?
Muzzy.
Muzzy famously said, "Let's paint it brown." If it's that much a piece of shit, right?
Exactly, right?
You destroy your team by being an asshole.
You do.
And you make your team into better than they are by being a good guy.
The $64,000 question. Can you do it? Does it happen subconsciously amongst the team just because one guy's finishing better than the other guy?
It can.
Yeah.
Right? Once it starts,
right.
That's the classic snowball going downhill analogy, right? It just gets worse and worse and worse. It gets harder. You can be like knowing it's happened to you and pushing on the brake pedal for all you're worth, and it still keeps speeding up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
That's why I love the DMG thing about radios.
Which was?
They wanted you to have radios to your rider. I wanted to be able to talk to my rider like the guys do in NASCAR. Because in NASCAR, well, first of all, the races are much longer. So it's a lot easier if your rider's in a bad mental place. You have time to try to get him turned around. Yeah, and he's just in a draft. So his bad mental place, he's in 10th now, which still means he has a shot, right? Our races aren't the same, but it's happened to me many times in a race, right? Something's going wrong. It's not working. And then you make the problem worse because of how you're thinking about it. And you just need a mental switch. You don't need a 10-minute break. You just need to get your brain to the other part. And there's one more chance. If you got a crew chief who can come on the radio and call me, tell you, hey, dude, you're Ed Sorbo. You can do this.
Right?
You've beaten Perry Melnichek before. Get back in his draft. Go do your stuff. And if that's enough to get you out of that mental place, right, that's what the team needs to do they're in trouble.
It's funny. When I'm playing, I don't have a lap timer on the bike. But when I'm racing, I did have a lap timer on the bike.
You need a lap time on the bike all the time.
If you're playing, you don't. If you're doing, you're stunting, you don't need a lap timer.
You shouldn't stunt.
You shouldn't stunt. We're all clear about that, right? But the thing was, the lap timer was able. That was my tool for doing that.
Yes. Oh, shit. I know I can do better than this.
Exactly.
Get my game back. Exactly.
Exactly.
And so, right? All relationships, all these team things, it really comes down to people relationships.
Yeah.
The technology is really cool, right?
Right.
But if you ain't got a rider, it doesn't matter how cool your shit
is,
right?
Or if your team is like, it's 5 o'clock and we're out of here. We don't care what the bike situation, excuse me, it's a break. It's in our contract.
The Bismarck was a better warship than all the ships that went to sea against it.
Right.
In that battle, and it was a hell of a lot better than the World War I era biplane that put the torpedo into its ass. But it lost because the Allies had a better team. That's what matters. And so, yeah, get some mom on the team who can sit everybody down and straighten them out, whack them with the slipper, whatever it takes. But sometimes, you know what? You just can't win all the races. The other guys are trying hard too.
Yeah,
that's what's going. Some version of that is what's going on in your example, and the champion guy, which right, is the guy who recognizes the problem and turns it around.
Exactly.
Rossi did that last year. He recognized that him and Burgess were not the team anymore.
Correct.
Right, and that's a Jerry problem and a Rossi problem. It's not somebody's fault
because it's one of their problems. Now it's both of their problems.
That's the whole thing of that, right? And so they fix that problem.
Right.
Right. And now look where Ross, look at his results.
Third.
Who's leading the championship?
Hey, you know what? Even a blind pig can tell the correct time twice a day.
He can. if he's got the right clock.
If he's got the right clock. Ed, we are 13 and a half minutes into this nonsense. You had something you wanted to talk about. It's on the list.
Oh, yes. So I got John Ulrich's TZ250. I'm rolling up to Tech. At Arma.
Okay.
Was that a week ago or 2 weeks ago? I forget.
Last week, I think it was.
At Willow Springs.
Right.
John's bike has a Rhino fender.
Right.
It's John's bike has always had a Rhino fender since the first time he tested one and he went, holy smokes, this is way better.
Okay.
My bike has a Rhino fender since I tested one and went, holy smokes, this is way better.
Okay.
So some guy who's walking by Tech sees the bike, reaches down, touches the fender and says, does that thing work? And me being Ed Sorbo, to my way of thinking, just to be clear, if it's on my bike, I think it works.
Really?
Actually, if it's on my bike, I have data that proves that it works.
Oh, man, that's way different than me.
And so I said to him, nah, we just leave that bike on the bike and fender on the bike and take it all over the country because it's a great place to put the sticker.
Okay.
Which, by the way, it is a great place to put a sticker.
Granted.
Okay.
Now, go ahead and make your point, because I got all kinds of comebacks for this.
Oh, well, my point is the Rhino fender works. That's why it's on my bike and John's bike, and it was on Rich Oliver's bike. And, you know, the explanation is on rhinoracing.com. Rhino spelled R-Y-N-O. You know, it's on my bike.
Okay, ready?
Get to your point.
I would argue that, first off, the emphasis on aerodynamics is one of the things that has ruined modern car racing so far. We haven't dealt with that, haven't had to deal with that issue in terms of Grand Prix racing bikes, but I'm scared by what I see on the Ducati. Those wings, you know, I don't want that to be the camel's nose under the edge of the tent. I don't want to see these guys starting to develop downforce and negative downforce and all the other crap, you know, because I think it's just ruined the way the cars look. And not only that, the most effective place for your aerodynamics on a car, your aerodynamic aids, are at the furthest corner of the car. So now you've got incredibly delicate front wings that the driver can't see. And when he touches another car or a wall, now the race is ruined. So I'm concerned about that happening in GP bikes. I really am.
So Michael's argument about, you know, not using aerodynamic stuff, you know, it's the same argument that the Harley guys used against electronic ignition and getting rid of points.
I agree.
You know, and you can do this list forever.
Right.
So if you want to go faster,
right,
you have to address the issue of aerodynamics.
You cannot
go faster without pushing more air.
But you can limit the range. You can limit the range.
So motorcycles used to have more aerodynamic stuff than they have now.
Correct.
We used to have dustbin fairings.
Right.
And the rules wisely took those away because they were so susceptible
unstable.
Side forces that you just get blown off their track.
Right.
You can't ride like that. And the electric bike guys who are allowing those body works currently in there are foolish. They need to go back. The visible front wheel and the visible most of the rear wheel,
right,
those rules are important because of the side winds and they matter.
Right.
But, you know, the Rhino fender is good for about 3 miles an hour more top speed. And more importantly, it makes the bike stable in really fast corners. And not a lot of tracks have really fast corners, so people don't get to check them. But if you go ride at Willow in turn 8 and turn 9, on your outlap, you're going to be able to tell the difference. It's massive. And you can make whatever funny comment you want about it, but you're wrong, and you've never tried one.
I'm not going to make a funny comment about the Rhino fender. All I'm going to say is this. One of the reasons that we still see wings on the cars, and one of the reasons that we see lower fairings like we do on GP bikes, is because they are a good place for stickers.
They are a good place for stickers, but
that allows you to sell sponsorship.
If you take the wings off of Formula One cars, they can't go as fast.
You can do underbody tunnels, and you can create the same downforce now without the wings. You don't need that.
I disagree with that statement.
Trust me, you can look
at the size of a wing, and you can clearly see that it can make a lot more downforce.
They're flat bottom cars. You allow them to put the tunnels back under the cars?
Okay, well, that's another form of aerodynamics, Michael.
You can't
say you're scared of aerodynamics
but
and say these are okay and these are
but
not.
My point is you can't sell stickers on the bottom of the car.
No, you can't.
You don't need...
How are you going to go racing without sponsorship?
That's my point. That's the fascinating thing about your Rhino fender story to me.
Don't be scared of new technology.
I'm not scared of
don't
new technology.
Don't be scared of winglets and Rhino fenders.
I'm scared of ugly.
And vortex generators.
I am terrified of ugly.
Well...
Okay? No, I'm not.
I find that bikes look really well when they win races.
I generally agree, but if you told me a dustbin fairing was going to win the race, I'd be like, eh.
Well, you know, they look cool, but they're just... The side force is too big of a factor, too dangerous.
I don't think they look all that cool. You know what the Harley guys found?
They can put a lot of stickers on a side fairing.
Their superbike, the VR1000, if you look back at it, it has very minimal fairing. And they found that aerodynamically that worked just fine.
Well, so the issue with a motorcycle is that the aerodynamic shape is a disaster no matter what you do.
Thank God.
Way too short.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And you know, it's just, and you're generating all this turbulence and you're doing all these crazy things and leaning and whatnot.
Right.
But if you can do something simple, and
like the Rhino fender?
Like the Rhino fender or the little winglets, and they make a difference. There's no downside to them.
There is. Well,
my point, though, was...
You had a point.
Think before you speak.
Oh.
Right?
Well,
touching my bike, and first of all, don't touch somebody else's bike.
Right.
And then, really? I mean, clearly you think that it works. You know that I'm smart enough to put it on the bike. And so you just run in your mouth. Does this really work? What you meant to say was, wow, how does this work? And you know what? instead of sending me a, putting a comment on my Facebook page that has a picture of the Rhino Fender, hey, Ed, how does that work? How about you go to Google and type in Rhino Fender
Ed.
And read this, and then ask me a specific question about how it works.
It was a relational conversation.
I don't want a relationship with a person who can't think before
they
speak.
He wasn't thinking. He was just saying, he wasn't asking, hey, does this thing really work? He was trying to say, hey, Ed, I like you. That's all he was trying to say, Ed. And you just shit all over the dude on an internationally listened to podcast.
I'm not emotionally secure enough to have strangers be my friend. Don't go there.
It's freaking awesome, dude.
How are we on time?
It's about time.
It's about 2-minute board.
2-minute board.
So a little while ago, I told the story about how I crashed a 125 violently that I bent the frame of a pickup truck. So I got to thinking about that, and I went back and I looked at my list of crashes, and that wasn't on the list.
Bummer.
And that totally counts because it was at a racetrack.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I actually have 37 crashes to my name.
37 crashes.
Racetrack crashes. Not County Street, and you don't count dirt because part of dirt is crashing, right? 37 racetrack crashes and counting.
Wow.
So I'm still Ed Sorbo despite the injuries.
Still Michael.
He's Michael Gugis despite
the fact that I actually do like Ed. Aloha.